Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. We have here today Cardinal Daniel Bernardo of Galveston, Houston, and Cardinal Sean O'Malley of Boston. Procedure is going to be each of the cardinals will make a statement, and then we'll open it to questions. Cardinal O'Malley?
Sure. Well, this week we have begun the congregation, general congregations. Oh, did we have a mic? Which one? Oh, there we go.
Is that better?
This week we are in the general congregations, which is an opportunity for all of the cardinals to share their ideas concerning the situation of the church throughout the world and possible needs of the church going forward, particularly as we prepare to elect a new Holy Father. Yesterday we took our oath of confidentiality. We're not free to talk about the content of our discussions there. It's an opportunity for us to hear also from the retired cardinals who have a wealth of experience that they will not be coming into the conclave, so it's an opportunity for them to share those ideas with us. Today, as a group, we sent a message to the retired Holy Father, Pope Benedict, thanking him for his wonderful and generous ministry to the church for the last 8 years. We are still waiting for all of the cardinal electors to be present. The Holy Father, before retiring, authorized the electors to set a date for the conclave that might be different from the 15 days that are provided in the legislation. But in order to do that, we must wait until all of the electors are present. A number of them arrived today, and I think there are still two that have not arrived. It was decided today that we wanted to have the opportunity to pray together. Tomorrow we will have a holy hour at the Basilica, which will be open to the public at 5 o'clock, praying for the help of the Holy Spirit to guide us in these deliberations and these conversations.
Thank you.
Cardinal O'Malley took all the words from my mouth, so I think what I can say is today we did have a few of newly arriving cardinals who took the oath of secrecy just like we did yesterday. We did our normal prayers and then went on into the various discussions. My only comment about it is good to hear some of the cardinals who are over 80 years of age. They will not enter into the conclave, but a lot of them have been bishops of dioceses for years or in the Curia, and they have some interesting point of view to bring to our discussions. That's pretty much, I think, what Cardinal O'Malley and I have said. That's pretty much our opening statement, Sister.
Thank you. The procedure will be, if you have a question, raise your hand. If you're called upon, go to the microphone, give your name, your media outlet, to whom you're addressing your question, and your question. Dan.
Ann Rogers from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, to either one of the two fine former Pittsburghers. Since there was apparently less formal ritual today in terms of the oath taking and so forth that happened yesterday, was the style of the conversation any different? Was it like individuals standing up one at a time in front of the group? Was there small group discussion? What form did your conversations take?
Actually, it was a series of interventions of cardinals who had asked to speak, and that was the format this morning. I'm not sure that we will continue with the same format going forward, but that's what took place at today's congregation.
The other thing that happens is there is a coffee break, and midway through, I think it's at the coffee break where you can get some individual conversations that go on. But the structure today of the congregation was interventions that were done in various languages, I might add. Major language is Italian, but there are translators available for any other of the major languages which we use today.
Yes, sir.
Hello, James Bowden from the Times of London. I'm actually an American, but I'm actually the president. You said correctly that the Constitution, as changed, requires all the cardinals to be there in order to make the decision about the date of the conclave. I wonder how the issue is being addressed of the cardinals who are not coming. One of them, obviously, is an Indonesian who says he's in health. There's also the Scottish cardinal who's not coming for other reasons. And I wonder, can you explain to us how that's being handled? Because on paper it would seem that without him it's not possible to make a decision about the date of conclave. Has there been some kind of formal notification that he's no longer to be considered as a cardinal elect? Or how is that, can you explain to us how that case of Cardinal O'Brien is being handled?
Well, my supposition is that those cardinals have been excused. And we're talking about electors who have not been excused and are expected to be a part of the conclave. That's my understanding.
Yes, which the head, the Camerlengo, or whatever, the dean, I guess, would make an announcement. There are cardinals who are over 80 who are not required to come, but have sent their regrets that they cannot come. So in addition, there are some electors who are still being awaited. I have to admit, Cardinal Mellon, I'm not sure how many there are, but there are far less now than I've heard two, but we're not
maybe
we're
one
not
from
sure.
Vietnam, I don't know.
One perhaps from Vietnam, and that seems to be the...
There's a number of confession formally that Cardinal O'Brien, who's said publicly isn't coming, there's a number of confessions that Cardinal doesn't count in terms of the required quorum to make a decision.
Yeah, wouldn't necessarily, insofar as they just tell us who are eligible to vote now, and I think it's 115, if I'm not mistaken. So I presume that the those who are not making up 115, they're trying to find out about. But that's the way it was announced to us.
Yes, please.
Amy Kellogg from Fox News. I think a lot of us are curious as to why some of the cardinals have not yet arrived. I know Father Lombardi today said that it's absolutely normal for there to be this kind of slow trickle in of all the cardinals. But since we've all known since February 11th that this was happening, can you give us a sense of maybe why? They say prior engagements, but it seems like this is pretty much of a big one. So if you could help us out to understand, that'd be great. Thank you.
Well, it is a big engagement. There may have been something prior, though, that had something to do with their very diocese, something. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, what about an ordination or something to that effect that they had to do? Obviously, this is the biggest engagement. Now, if it is true, again, we haven't confirmed this, but if it is true that one of the lectors is from Vietnam, there could be a reason why he's delayed in getting out to Vietnam, though I think they can travel pretty freely now, but... That could be, there could be something there. We just don't know, they don't really inform us. But my suspicion is everyone has made a good effort. In fact, most were already here at the end of last week. But there were issues with one or another who have been delayed. But I wish I could inform you more, but that's basically what I know, Cardinal Manley.
I don't know whether this is myth or not, but I'm told that the 15 days that are in the document were provided for cardinals to arrive because the Archbishop of Boston missed one or two conclaves because of the boat trip from the States. And so now they give you 15 days to get there, and so some cardinals are obviously taking full advantage of the 15 days.
They're going by boat.
They're going by boat, I don't know.
Una pregunta en español para el cardenal O'Malley. De llegar los cardenales que faltan, ¿cuán rápido cree usted que van a tener una fecha para el cónclave?
Pues es difícil predecir. O sea, una vez que llegan todos, habrá la posibilidad de fijar la fecha para el cónclave, pero mucho también dependerá de la disposición de los señores cardenales, si ellos creen que están ya preparados para dar ese paso o si necesitan más tiempo para reflexionar sobre los posibles temas del cónclave.
Nicole Winter from the Associated Press. I know we can't get into the detail of the conversations that were held today. We understand there was some back and forth between Cardinal electors and some members of the Curia about the functioning of the bureaucracy that Father Lombardi told us was some of the conversations today. Could you tell us a little bit, aside from the congregation, your thoughts on this whole situation of the Curia, dysfunction, corruption, that it is? Your thoughts on what you want to know?
Well, I don't want to make any comments about what happened today because that's part of our not speaking. But in general, I think that I would speak for myself that we need to look attentively in recent years of the work of the Curia. My take on part of it is even for the Curia, for the various offices, to be in contact with each other. That's always an important issue, it seems to me, and may be a helpful thing to look at. Beyond that, I would simply say the Curia is there at service to the Holy Father. That's basically what they're there for. They're to speak and deal with things in service to the Holy Father, and I would add in service to the local churches, and that's always an ongoing thing. You're always going to have to work on that, Cardinal O'Malley.
Well, there is certainly a lot of reflection going on throughout the Catholic world about the governance of the Church and how to improve it and how to make the Holy Father's ministry more effective and supported by the bureaucracy of the Holy See. The Vatican leaks grabbed the headlines for a long time, but I don't know how important those issues are for the work of the conclave. I feel confident that the cardinals will share with each other the information that is really germane and important for us to know as we try and make this important decision.
Yes, sir.
Alan Kruszewski from ABC TV in Chicago. Can you please try to help us when it comes to setting the date of the conclave and procedurally how this works, since it apparently was not even discussed yesterday and while you're waiting for cardinal electors to still arrive? Is this something perhaps that the cardinals, during coffee break time, discuss so that you basically all know what the date is that you're working toward, even though it's not discussed in the congregation meeting itself, or no? Is it something that you're left wondering even yourselves? When is this going to be, and we'll get there at the appropriate time?
I think that the cardinals have, in some measure, already discussed more globally about the conclave. I think once all of the cardinal electors are there, it will spontaneously be generated in the everyday congregations as we're meeting, and an appropriate discussion will no doubt happen. Well, when do we do it then? And I think that's when you'll get a variety of points of view from the cardinals. And at some point, I believe it would be the dean that would take some kind of vote of us to see where we are on this particular issue. But it's been around, sir, I can tell you that. But it, because if the electors aren't all there, why bother? You know, until they're all here and you can do something. But it has already been brought up, so that means that, you know, we're certainly considering it. And it may be that in small groups, some of the cardinals are mentioning, well, a given date or a given time frame. You have to remember that these general congregations are there to help the cardinals understand a little bit about the dimensions of what's going on in the church worldwide and even locally. And for some, they want more discussion about these issues. There may be other cardinals that are perhaps a little more impatient. I remember just seeing yesterday with Cardinal George, those of us who have dioceses around the world or in the United States, we would want to make sure there's plenty of time to discuss, but we also want to get a voting on the Holy Father so we can get back to for Holy Week in our diocese. If you know anything about the United States during Holy Week, you know, it's a pretty busy, significant time. So.
Yes, sir.
David Wright from ABC News. I'm curious about the atmosphere of these conversations. Is it mostly the older guys sharing their experience, or the younger guys sort of putting themselves forward? What language does it take place in? And you know, is it like a campaign event, or is it like a sort of a academic seminar? Are there translators?
Yes, there are translators, and the though I would say the language used most often is Italian in the meetings. Other languages are certainly used, all the major languages, Spanish, English, French, so that a wide variety of languages, because there's translators available, are used. And the interventions are just like the persons who make the interventions. Some are, how shall I phrase it, maybe a little more scholarly. Others are, and excuse the expression, a little journalistic. You know, they may come out, you know, just with some points. Basically, I found the interventions to be pretty serene, even, you know, when people are speaking about something really dear to their heart. So, and it's not campaign-like. At least as I've seen it. You have to remember, this is the first time I've ever been to these general congregations.
I would say it's very much akin to the atmosphere that you would find in any of the synods of bishops, if you've ever been at one of those or seen one of those. That kind of discussion and...
interactive discussion or speeches?
Right now it's speeches. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it will stay that way, I don't know. We could go to another format where themes would be proposed and then there would be conversation about themes, but that has not happened yet.
Hi, my name is Estefania Aguirre from EWTN. This is a question for Cardinal Schwan in Spanish. ¿Me podría decir, por favor, cuáles son los problemas principales de los hispanoparlantes católicos en Estados Unidos y en Latinoamérica que los cardenales posiblemente deberían estar discutiendo estos días? Gracias.
Pues claro, tal vez el primer desafío sería la transmisión de la fe, y por eso se necesita ministros del Evangelio, agentes de pastoral, sacerdotes. Tenemos una escasez de vocaciones muy, muy seria, tanto en los Estados Unidos como en Latinoamérica, y estoy seguro que los señores cardenales están muy conscientes de eso. En otras partes, la falta de recursos para la misión de la Iglesia, la cuestión de la inmigración es algo que para todos nosotros es muy importante, ¿no? Porque tenemos millares de hispanos, por ejemplo, en los Estados Unidos, que están indocumentados. Algunos de ellos están lejos de sus familiares, con todas las amenazas que eso representa para la vida familiar. Así son algunos de los temas que nos preocupan en cuanto a la población hispana del hemisferio.
Yes,
This is the third press conference that the North American College has hosted since last Thursday. At the same time, many of the cardinals are very tight-lipped. Why are you doing this three times already since last Thursday? What is the philosophy behind this willingness to speak to so many of us?
Well, I'll let you try it.
I would think one thing is that this is perhaps more normal in the United States to do this than it might be in other places. I can't speak for others, but it is perhaps more normal. It's also a way we want to make sure that that we are able to speak to people without giving away anything that we are not supposed to, as far as we want to honor the confidentiality of the discussions. But at the same time, to let people know, I mean, you, but also letting our own folks know at home that that we are meeting day by day. There are, you know, interesting things happening. We're moving ahead. It's that kind of thing. Maybe that's more American. It's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. Obviously, there's great interest in what is happening here. Unfortunately, there's no dramatic developments in the last 24 hours that we can share with you, but we're trying to help people to have a greater understanding of what the process is and the procedures and background information. Right now, I think that's about all we can share with you, but we're happy to try and do that.
Mr. Harwood.
Jason Horowitz from the Washington Post.
Could you speak a little louder again?
Sir, Jason Horowitz from the Washington Post. Do you have the sense that back to the timing of the when the conflict will start, that that there's also a kind of a political dimension to when it might start, in the sense that if it starts earlier, it might benefit some who are better known, and if it starts later, it might benefit some who are lesser known, that there's a chance for someone to emerge? Is there a debate going on in the assemblies about when it should start based on that?
I don't think that that so much is a factor, as many cardinals are concerned that if there's not enough time spent in the general congregations, that once we get into the conclave, it could drag on. I think the preference would be to have enough discussions previous that when people go to the conclave, they already sort of have a pretty clear idea of who they're going to vote for at that point. And if you cut short the discussion beforehand, the conclave then could go on, and we really would prefer to have the discussions and a lot of that preparation done beforehand.
Tricia Thomas, Associated Press Television. When Pope Benedict XVI resigned, he said he was going to live hidden from the world. We already know about how he slept the first night, a little bit about what he's doing, and we know that you've sent him a message. What I'm wondering is how much influence you two think that he's going to have on this election. I know it's not direct, but I imagine that there is some influence there. Second question on the part of my daughter for Cardinal O'Malley. Are you going to wear your cappuccino robes if you're elected Pope?
You can answer all of them, Sean.
Well, I think that Pope Benedict's declaration that he's going to lead a hidden life is a very serious intention on his part, and I do not expect that we will see or hear much about him going forward. Obviously, there's still great attention now because he just finished his tenure as Pope, and there is no Pope in place. As far as your daughter's concerned, I have worn this uniform for over 40 years, and I presume I will wear it till I will die, and because I don't expect to be elected Pope, so it's not... Not, I don't expect to have a change of wardrobe.
As far as Pope Benedict is concerned, part of this is because of yourselves, the media, I think, too. And part of it is if the letters I received before coming here, and even as I've gotten some since being here, there's a lot of affection for Pope Benedict XVI. Whatever may be people in the media, whatever is the criticism, on the part of the people in my archdiocese in Galveston, Houston, huge amount of affection. So they write to just say they're praying for him. Now, if the influence of Pope Benedict is from that, people pray, perhaps it will be. But anyone who's ever met Pope Benedict, I think Cardinal Sean, you would agree with me, he's a very shy and a very quiet person. And as he has moved into this life of prayer and all, he will be off the stage and is not interested at all in dealing with the kind of, and there would be influence that he would have theologically insofar as he's a very fine, brilliant theologian. But from the point of view of that influence, you know, that we would probably state as political, you know, I just, knowing him, that won't happen.
Tom Cook of ABC News in Houston. The two of you are on the inside looking out, so to speak. When you read the daily headlines in the world's newspapers, do you laugh, do you cry, do you worry? And Cardinal DiNardo, if you're elected Pope, would you be wearing your cowboy hat?
Relative to the last question, Tom, that's an Alice in Wonderland story. We're going down the rabbit hole when we're dealing with that in terms of my being elected Pope. But more seriously, on the aspects of the question. Now I just forgot the question. I was so intent on the text.
The
of
headlines
and oh, the headlines in the news. There are times, Tom, I have to say, when I see some of the headlines, I do laugh a little because it does not necessarily really jive with what you see going on. I don't know if I've ever felt like crying. I do believe some of the headlines are okay. Obviously, when you're in the news, you're trying to, a headline's supposed to grab people so that they'll read the story. So from that point of view, the ones that make me laugh, if I actually read the story, and I have to say this a lot of times, the stories are pretty good, they're all right. Every now and then, though, someone really as I would say, is out in, way out, outfielder. And I suppose we have to expect that in a freewheeling media that we have. I sometimes think that people, and that's not true with all the media, but some, they will always try to think the worst. And I don't know if that's always totally fair. It's just something we have to deal with. Pardon me, ma'am.
Well, I think all of us are, in some ways, amazed to see how much the news has been generated by the Holy Father's retirement. And I think that a lot of the articles that are being written are very reflective, and I think they've helped me to be able to understand more the import of this movement, of this moment in our history. Not that I agree with everything that I read in the newspapers, but it is, I think, in great part, a lot of the reflection that is going on in our own Catholic community is what you see also being reflected in the news services, because obviously the people are interviewing the bishops and the priests and the Catholic faithful and distilling from that a lot of the themes that that all of us are reflecting on praying on these days.
Well,
Phil Pula from Reuters here in Rome. I'd like to get back to the possibility of when the conclave may start. You were saying before, you said, Cardinal DiNardo, what Cardinal George said yesterday, that everybody would like to be home by Palm Sunday. This is the most important decision you'll probably make in your life, unless there's going to be another conclave before you turn 80. Do you think an arbitrary, and I'm using it with all due respect, deadline like Palm Sunday, which can go ahead without you, should take precedence to just taking as much time as you need in the general congregations before the Holy Spirit kicks in earnest during the conclave to really get to know you guys, each other, and let's take it from there. We've already, you know, looking at the calendar, as people already say, mostly in the Italian media, but also others, you know, the 17th would be a good day for an installation because it's a Sunday. If that doesn't work, maybe the 19th because it's St. Joseph's Day. You know, I mean, my birthday's on the 31st, if anyone's interested.
It's a good day. It's a good day.
Keep that in mind. Do you feel under any pressure to just get this over with, or should you feel any pressure to get this over with? I mean, conflicts have lasted years before. Maybe take your time. It's a nice city.
Well, I agree with you. I think this is the most important decision that some of us will ever make, and we need to give it the time that's necessary. Obviously, the legislation of the church gives us, you know, a maximum of 20 days, but experience has shown that usually that much time is not necessary. But as I said before, I believe the feeling of the cardinals is we want to have enough time in the general congregations so that when we go to the conclave itself, it's a time of decision, and that the general congregation is the time of discernment. And as much time we need for discernment in prayer, reflection, and getting information, then we need to use as much time as we need.
I would agree. It takes as long as it takes. And if it takes longer to do the work of discernment that we're supposed to do, it will take that amount of time. There are plenty of points of views on the time frame by all the cardinals, I think. And that will work itself out in terms of our feeling at home and in discernment. The question about trying to be home for Holy Week has to do with simply practical matters, sir, that happen. And practical matters always will fall by the wayside when more serious matters are at stake. So I would say what a couple of us kid because we have these big dioceses to get home to, but no one really wants to rush this if it can't be rushed. I think that would be true amongst all of us.
And it is hard to get a bad meal in Rome.
It's a
nice
point,
too.
And this
will be our last question.
Sister Marianne, thank you. I'm Ann Thompson. I'm from NBC News, back in the States, Your Eminences. We understand there was discussion about the Curia today. Do you want more discussion about the Curia? Are you satisfied with that? And if you want more, what more do you want to know? Also, do you want to be briefed on the secret report into the Vatican's investigation that was given to the Pope? Thank you very much.
Well, I don't think I can get into anything particular of what happened in any of the congregation today. In general, I'd be willing to say, obviously, we want to know and learn as much as we can relative to governance in the church, and the Curia is part of that issue. So certainly we want to discuss and learn what we can. And I think that will go on as long as the cardinals feel they need the information. I'd probably leave it at that.
And as I mentioned about the report, I think the cardinals feel confident that we'll get all the information that we need for our deliberations. Doesn't necessarily mean that the report will be shared with us, but if it's anything germane that we need to know about, I'm sure that that will be.
Thank you, Cardinal O'Malley and Cardinal DiNardo. We'll have a briefing tomorrow at the same time with Cardinal Timothy Yellen of New York and Cardinal Francis George of Chicago. It'll be 2:30 here again at North American College. Thank you.